Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Times of India's sports podcast, Sportscast. My name is Akash Dasgupta and I am very, very excited and looking forward to that big clash that's coming up in the UEFA Champions League. From 78 teams, we are now down to the final two, and the summit clash, of course, will be played between Manchester City and surprise finalists in many ways, Inter Milan. And to talk about this, and of course, a little bit more, including the FA Cup final, which is also coming up shortly, I have with me two former English footballers in Terry Fellon and Mark Seagraves. Both of them have been here on Sportscast before, so they know exactly what we do. Mark and Terry, thanks so much for joining us, taking out the time and joining us here on Sportscast. Good to have both of you here together on Sportscast again.
Thanks, Akash. It's nice to be working with Terry again after a little while. So, yeah, really, really looking forward to it.
No, thank you. Yeah, again, like Mark said, it's great to be working with wonderful people and talking about a passion which we've grown up with. And obviously, it's two massive big finals coming up for one particular club.
Absolutely. And in fact, I wanted to touch upon that, but I didn't know how to do it delicately. I have two former Manchester City footballers here on the show. So I'm hoping that they can be as unbiased as possible in their analysis of City versus Inter. We'll see how it goes, of course. But as far as the final is concerned, it's City versus Inter. And Mark, first up, you got your final prediction bang on right. Congratulations on that. And Terry, wanted to check with you. Did you also predict City versus Inter final before the semis happened?
I did, yes. Obviously, Inter playing against AC. AC had had a bit of a dodgy season. The first game, to tell you the truth, AC wasn't even in the game. And yeah, it was a terrible start for them, really, wasn't it? You know, and Inter Milan just went on from strength to strength.
Absolutely. Now, as far as City is concerned, Mark and Terry, and feel free to jump in, whoever wants to take this one. You know, the treble, of course, is being talked about a fair bit. And why not? It is going to be very big if it happens. The treble does beckon. But interestingly, standing in their way, at least in the FA Cup final, is the other English team which has completed the treble, which is United. And that's interesting. So it's, you would say, man for man, of course, City, the better team vis-a-vis United. But United also have a record to put up.
Well, yeah, I mean, sorry, Terry. Man United have been there and seen it and done it in the FA Cup, haven't they? You know, they've got already one cup in the cupboard. They've had a great season considering all the upheaval that's been in at the club. And, you know, they find themselves, well, finished third in the league. They're in the FA Cup final against the local rivals. You know, if Manchester United were in the Championship, this would still be the hardest game for Manchester City because of that rivalry. And it's not going to be any different. Man City got beat at the weekend, albeit with a lesser team. And I don't know how much that will have a bearing on the game because we've seen them play to such a standard with near enough the same team week in, week out. And sometimes it just jolts you a little bit. And, you know, with all of these other players are going to come back in. But having said all of that, it's a Wembley Cup final. Manchester United will be after Man City's tails. And, you know, if all things being equal, both teams play to their maximum, there's only one team that's going to come out the winner for me.
Right. Terry, your take on that?
Yeah, I know where Mark's coming from on that. You know, City had a bit of a bleep at the weekend. You know, they can't win every game. Obviously, if you look at the side, they put out, but all due to the team that beat them at the end of the day, Brentford beat them, you know. But you know, it that's gone now. The EPL's already been won by Manchester City. Yeah, you want continuity, you want them winning streaks, you want that confidence still bubbling. But for me, I'm a bit frightened of Manchester United, to tell you the truth, because if anybody can beat Manchester City, it's Manchester United. And we can go back to how Manchester City played again in the Champions League, how they played in the FA Cup. This is a different mindset altogether now. You know, we do know that Man City are two games are winning from the treble, okay? This is a massive game. This is probably the hardest game Manchester City will play all season. Forget your Real Madrid. It's Manchester United. Manchester United have got a pedigree. They've got a club culture in there that they want to win everything. They've already, like Mark says, They've already won a cup. They've already finished in the Champions League spot. They're in another cup final. They've had a magnificent season from where they started from at the start of the season when you've got two back-to-back losses. So for me, I'm very nervous about this game because I can see Manchester City easily losing this game, to tell you the truth, because they haven't been great. Manchester United haven't been great away from home either. They've been great at home. First half of games, they've been, you know, terrible. It's the second half of games where Manchester United have really come on. Manchester City, we know what they're all about. But this is a different game. It's a different moment. There's going to be different objectives for both teams. Both teams want to win. But it's who holds the nerves. Manchester United haven't got a lot to lose. Manchester City have got an awful lot to lose if they want to get that treble.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that actually makes me think of two rather interesting things, and I'll put both of them to you one by one. One is the loss that we're talking about to Brentford, that City suffered, the 1-0 loss. Do you think it's basically them trying to obviously, take the foot off the pedal just a little bit because they know that they have two very big games coming up and they can, of course, afford to perhaps be, for the lack of a better term, laid back a little bit before they play the FA Cup final and the Champions League final? Do you think that is what happened over there?
I think so. I mean, obviously, when I think they changed six or seven of the team. Once you do that, you're obviously going to lessen the team, albeit the players that are coming in are very good. It's not great in terms of the continuity, as we said. Before then, they were playing to such a high standard. I think if this game was after the Champions League, it would be a different kettle of fish. But are the mindsets for the Champions League? Because forget about the treble. The holy grail for Manchester City is the Champions League. So will they have an eye on the second game? I don't think they will. They're a very, very professional outfit. And as I said, if they put out the best team and they play to their maximum, I think it's going to be an okay day for Manchester City. But there are all them other things involved, as Terry mentioned. And also, are they keeping an eye on the Champions League final in the next week or two? So there's a lot of things there. The treble is great. But I think if you asked Guardiola what he'd want, I think he'd want the Champions League more than, you know.
I think when Guardiola come to Manchester City, and they're all thinking about he needs to come to Manchester City to win the Champions League. First and foremost, you have to win your own domestic league. Your own domestic league is very, very important. It's very important. That tells you, for 30-odd games, you're the champions of England. And you've ridden everything. You've had the storms thrown at you. You've had the waves thrown at you. And you've ridden through the storms and you've come out at a better end. Okay. Now it's two cup competitions. Cup competitions are a completely different mindset altogether. Okay, then. It's a different mindset. You know, you might need a little bit of luck in these competitions. Manchester City might not even play well. They might get a little bit of luck. But, you know, I think everybody's like, Guardiola needs to win the Champions League. Yes, he does. But look at the teams he's been at, and he's only won it twice. He's been at, obviously, Barcelona. He's been at Bayern Munich. They've had wonderful sides, and now he's at Manchester City. I'm sure he dreams about lifting that, but I'm sure he's happy with being champions of England as well. So let's not forget that.
No, absolutely. I mean, winning the EPL, and like you mentioned, your national league is also very, very important. There's no doubt about that. But when you look ahead to what City are looking for, which they haven't done before, haven't sort of managed to win before. I mean, that it's a big hole that's left for them to fill, which is the Champions League hole. And if you look at these two teams, Mark and Terry, in City and Inter, it's very interesting how the scheduling of the matches have happened, because for City, they have the FA Cup final to play before they play the Champions League final. So they're obviously thinking about that as well, because at the end of the day, that too is a big final. And if they don't do well in that match, do you think that's going to have sort of a cascading effect onto the Champions League final? Because on the other hand, you have Inter, where Inzaghi and his men have only one goal because they've already won the Italian, they've retained the Italian. So that is out of the picture altogether for them. They are not winning the Serie A. Napoli's already done that, you know? So they have just one goal there. So, you know, when you weigh these two teams in that context, how would you do?
I personally think that Inzaghi would want Man City to win the FA Cup, because if they don't do that, there's going to rain down some terror on them in the next game, aren't they? I mean, every player, every manager, every team wants to win everything they can. People talk about, you know, we'll take a game, each game as it comes and whatnot. And they've known the schedule since the start of the season. So this is not something new for them. You know, they will have to play the game. And Terry will attest this. These lads are not from him in terms of being fit, because he was one of the fittest players and still is the fittest man I know. But the way these lads are looked after nowadays, I don't think an extra game at the end of the season is going to do that much damage. But I will say, if I was manager of Inter Milan, I would want Man City to win the FA Cup, maybe have a couple of drinks afterwards, and then, you know, plan the game ahead in the next week or two. Because, as I say, then this Champions League game becomes all important. And it'll be for different reasons. If they win the FA Cup, it's for the treble. And if they don't, it's to, you know, bring that or get that monkey off Guardiola's back at Manchester City.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, if you can focus now on the Champions League final, because, you know, that's something that, you know, all the fans are looking forward to, because, again, like I mentioned, that's one thing City hasn't won before. Going into that final, City had the Real hurdle to cross. I remember Mark telling me that the fact that the second leg will be held at the Etihad is going to be a big advantage for City. And at the end of the day, you had a 4-0 scoreline. But did even diehard City fans expect that scoreline, Terry?
Well, to tell you the truth, I mean, when you're going away from home in the first leg, which City haven't done in a long while, the first legs have always been at home. This was a new entity for them. Listen, they've gone away. They've come away with a result, and that's all they could ask for. They come away with a result. Did they play it? You know, was they brilliant within the game? No. Did they manage the game? Yes. They managed the game beautifully well. You know, obviously, De Bruyne getting that goal to level it up after Vinicius Junior scored a fantastic goal. I always had my doubts about Real Madrid's midfield, and I don't think they could cope with Manchester City's fluency, movement, passion, grit, determination. I think that's what let Real Madrid down in the home leg. Then Manchester City are going home. They've got the crowd behind them, 60-odd thousand behind them. It's a different atmosphere altogether. And the way Manchester City played in that game, I've never seen Manchester City play a game like that before in my entire life. The way every inch and blade of the grass was closed down. They didn't give any movement, any type of continuity for Real Madrid to get into the flow of the game. So for me, it was Manchester City could have won that game by 6 or 7, if I'm honest. If Haaland scores them two goals, what, you know, the two great saves of the keeper, Manchester City in the first 15 minutes they're away. I just think they controlled the game. The manner in which they controlled it was absolutely fantastic. And for me, if you look at that game's gone now. If Manchester City now bring this into the Champions League final against Inter Milan, as Marcus says, I fear for Inter Milan, because I know they play a 3-5-2 system. You'll have to do a lot of tracking back in them wide areas. Yes, they've got maybe Dzeko up front, or they've got Martinez up front, Lukaku up front, who are a danger themselves. But I don't think Manchester City will be worrying about any of the games what's coming up. They'll play each game as it comes. They'll look to win each game. But the Champions League final is going to be a fantastic game of football. There'll be a lot of defending from Inter Milan, but I do see. I mean, I can see Manchester City running away with this game, and that's the God's honest truth, because I don't think Inter Milan are absolutely great.
Yeah. Most experts seem to agree with you there, Terry. And in fact, what you said about Man City totally dominating Real in the second leg. Mark was in fact saying the same thing earlier, how he hasn't seen perhaps a better team performance, at least in the first half, what City did to Real in the first half. I'm glad, though, that you brought up Inzaghi's 3-5-2 formation tactic because I wanted to sort of pick both your brains a little bit about that, because, you know, a lot has been spoken about Manchester City, and their strengths and weaknesses have been analyzed. But in the course of the entire Champions League season that we've had, not too many people have actually sat down and analyzed Inter, you know, that closely, because to be honest, I don't think anyone expected Inter to be where they are right now. Or the fact that there were two Italian clubs, you know, going up against each other in the semi-finals. But if you talk about Inzaghi and one of the formations which he plays really well, the 3-5-2, if you see what he's sort of managed to do, there was a time when Inter dropped out of the top four in the Serie A. They went on, about, I think it was a six-match winless streak. And then he sort of reverted back to his counter-attacking move of play. And what the 3-5-2 allows him to do is obviously, you know, tie up the central defenders. And if you can do that, he has, you know, so many sort of, he has what, four different kinds of forwards to pick from. Do you think that, I'm going to put that question to both you, Terry, and to Mark, because I want both your opinions on this. Do you think that is going to be sort of perhaps the biggest hurdle for Guardiola to cross tactically? They're both obviously at the drawing boards right now, figuring out strategies. But something like this where, you know, you don't know who Inzaghi is going to pick, or maybe he does, I don't know. But he picks, you know, the forwards depending on who he's playing. So do you think that tactically is going to be a big challenge?
I personally think tactically he's still going to go to 3-5-2. The two up front is going to be Martinez and Dzeko, as it has been for a long period of time. I think it won't be such a three, it'll be more of a five, because if Manchester City dominate possession like they did against Real Madrid, then you can't see Inter Milan getting out of their own half. And it's going to be 45 minutes of defensive-wise, and it's a case of, does he put Dumfries as a right-back or a right-sided, because he's more offensive? And on the other side, you've got Gosens and you've got DiMarco. Where are they going to play? So I think he'll be looking Inzaghi to nullify, basically. It's going to be very defensive play from them. And as we see it in, I think it was the semi-final where they had to, or the quarter-final where they had to get a result, a 0-0 it was in the end, and they managed to keep a clean sheet. I think this is going to be their thinking, you know, and maybe if they can counter-attack at times. But as I say, this is all about Man City and how they go about the game. If they go about the game the way they did against Real Madrid in the first half, the second leg, then this is going to be a long day, long evening for Inter Milan, and they need to be defensively right on top of the game. And, you know, the three centre-halves will probably be Bastoni, Acerbi, and maybe one of De Vrij or Skriniar in there. So it's an experienced back three. But then when you look at what they've got to defend against and the goals that they have in all of them, whether it's Mahrez plays or, you know, Bernardo Silva, Haaland's going to play, Grealish is now playing at the top of his form. So it's going to be, for me, it's going to be a really interesting way how they're going to set out. If they set out defensively, then it's going to be a 90-minute job of trying to just keep them out, and then maybe win on pens or whatever it is. And that's going to be very difficult against a team who continually pass the ball from side to side. And as Terry will say to you, eventually, your limits of fitness will fail. And then at that point, that's where mistakes happen. So that's the way I think I see him playing it, because I don't think he's got any other way. If he goes at Manchester City, you know, glove for glove, then they're going to come out and it will be a... I think this is one of the most lopsided finals I've seen in the Champions League in a long time. And I mean, if you look at the Italian league, they've done great. Roma is in the Europa League. You've got, obviously, Inter, AC Milan. We had Napoli as well. So it looks as though it's blooming there. But when you come up against a team with Manchester City like this, then it's going to be a long, long night for them.
Right.
I'll take on board what Mark has said there, you know, and the formation he's going to play. But let's be very honest with you here. We've watched a lot of Italian football, me and Mark, over the years with so many sports, and you know, we've commentated on a lot of games, individual players. But Inter Milan, you know, over the course of the managers they've had, they've always seemed to be set up in a 3-5-2 situation. And I think that's a culture within the club now. Yes, Inzaghi did make a few tactical changes along the way, and it wasn't quite working in Serie A. You know, he did drop out the top four, which you've mentioned. He's reverted back now to this 3-5-2 system. My only concern is obviously wide areas, fullbacks being pushed back, which Mark has alluded to. But we've got to look at the midfield area. This is where Manchester City will look to win the battle of the game, because Manchester City like to overload that midfield area with a 4v3 situation. Now then, what does the opposition do? Did he pull their fullbacks in? Does one fullback come in and he leaves four at the back? And he leaves spaces wide for Manchester City to exploit. That's going to be his biggest dilemma. He's got two up front against the four. How does he cope with Manchester City's fullbacks? Especially if John Stone, as a centre-back, pushes in there, he's still got 3v2. So I think Inter Milan have got a lot of thinking to do. They've got mountains of thinking to do. Yes, they're going to drop into a low block when Manchester City has the ball. That's great. It's when Manchester City go back to front quickly up to Haaland, which they have been doing recently, and then runners have been going on. De Bruyne has been going on. Gundogan's been going on. And, you know, your wide men have been staying wide. So for me, I wouldn't like to be a coach playing against Manchester City at this present time, because there's loads of situations which you have to think about. But you have to think about how you're going to play and how you're going to set up. And I do think, like Mark says, Inter Milan will set up in that system. They will look to drop. They will look to have a low block, obviously, in and around the 18-yard box. They stop the supply to Haaland's feet. Maybe double up in the wide areas, which they're capable of. Because, hey, Inter Milan haven't got a bad midfield and all, but my worry is, can they cope with Manchester City's overload in that 4v3 in the midfield areas?
Right, absolutely. And talking about tactics, Guardiola has said that he's not going to, quote-unquote, overthink his plans, because that is something he's been accused of doing in the past as well. But as far as these two teams are concerned, they are also similar in one way, where neither team has one or two standout sort of superstars. They're both collective sort of units who come together and play sort of good football. And the way I see it, I think it can go either way. And both of you are coaches, and you know, give me your points of view on this one. That one story that can unfold is that City absolutely thrash Inter, the way they thrash Real, because again, that is something no one saw coming. The other is Inzaghi knows that the only way to sort of stop City, because they are going to have the lion's share of the possession, City that is to sort of slow down the game and to stop the runs and the presses. So if they actually manage to do that, then could we see sort of a whoever wins winning by a very small margin of, say, 1-0?
I think Inzaghi, and this has happened with Italian teams over the years as well, they make games scrappy if they had to, and they do that by silly fouls or, you know, professional fouls, and they'll just try and get the opposition to get out of their tempo, if you like. And, you know, the one thing we know about Italian teams over the years is defensively, if they need a clean sheet, that they can do it. But we're talking about a Manchester, and you said there was no superstars in there. Well, I'd beg to differ. You know, you've got your Haaland, who's got 52 goals this season, his first season. You've got, obviously, De Bruyne, who's world-class there. Grealish is coming into it. Bernardo Silva. Gundogan.
So that's what I meant, Mark. That there's no one sort of standout hero. I mean, because they have so many.
I must have misread that. But yeah, I just think, you know, when we're talking, and listen, if you look at Inter Milan's squad, it's a really good squad. You know, they've got really good players from back to front as well. You know, Martinez scoring goals. You've got Lukaku, who's been on the bench, is scoring goals. Dzeko is Dzeko, you know, he's big, strong, and but I just don't think they're going to get anywhere near the game, because it'll be backs to the wall for the majority of this game. Because, as I say, the only saving grace for them, or two saving graces, are they got beat at the weekend, Manchester City, with a weakened team, whether that has any bearing on the team. And if they don't get a result against Manchester United in the FA Cup, these are the two things that might have a bearing. But when we look at what Guardiola is, and we know he's tactical, very good. He doesn't leave any stone unturned. Everything will be to the T. And he'll just and he's got the ammunition to carry it out, as we've seen against Real Madrid. And I think that's going to be the key. They've got far too many top players playing at the top of the form right now to not at least win the game.
Right. No, absolutely. I completely agree. And one of you said how lopsided this final really is. And it's a sort of perhaps the most lopsided final we've had in the Champions League in a while. That if you look at the two teams who are going up against each other, it's a no-brainer which team you're going to pick to win the title, going by not just their current form, but also how they've performed over the last few seasons. You know, we've seen what City has done in the Premier League for the last few seasons. But man for man, you would say, of course, Pep has the better team. But this is also a sort of a straight-up one-match knockout. It's not a two-leg match. It's one sort of knockout match. In that context, do you see perhaps Inzaghi managing to hold City as much as possible so that the match goes into maybe sort of penalties? Because Guardiola will already be drawing up sort of plans for that. He will be wary of what Inter can do to them in that department.
I mean, I'm going to look at this game and I think there'll be goals in the game. I think there'll be goals in the first half. I cannot see there not being no goals in the first half, whether it's Inter or whether it's Manchester City. But this game will not go to penalties. It will not go to extra time. I just think there's too much quality on the field for them not to be goals in this game, if I'm really honest. You look at individual battles all over the place. You know, you look at, obviously, you know, Martinez has been doing absolutely fantastic. Won a World Cup. Alvarez won a World Cup. Martinez sat on the bench for Alvarez to come in. You know, there's a little bit of motivation there. You know, you're sorting out what Haaland's done. Haaland will be a nightmare for Inter Milan's three centre-backs. He will pull them all over the place, if I'm really honest. But then you've got Dzeko up front. He's got added ambitions. He's playing against his old team. You know, he'll want to get on the score sheet. We know what type of goals he's been scoring of late. Fantastic. He can hold the ball up. But for me, I do think this is not going to extra time. I do not think it'll go to penalties, no matter how much Inter Milan defend or Manchester City defend. It'll open up. The game will open up. The first 20 minutes, yes, they'll be feeling each other out. But both sets of teams have got wonderful individual players and all, as well as collectively, who know how to defend, who know how to attack, who know how to open that back door with a through ball. So for me, I think this game is going to be finished in 90 plus minutes. I don't see it going to penalties. It'll be such, after the first 20 minutes, an open game that I believe this is how it's going to go. And right, Manchester City will have a lion's share of the ball, but we know what Inter Milan can do when they hit a diagonal, or they've got Dzeko pulling off the back stick onto the full-backs, Martinez running in behind the centre-back. We know how difficult they can be, them two up front, but they need to get the service. They need to get the service. Like I said before, ball's down to that midfield area. Who wins that midfield area will win the game.
Right. And of course, a lot of people, Terry, also might, they'll of course agree with what you're saying and also point out that if Ancelotti couldn't stop, Guardiola and his men from doing what they did to Real, Inzaghi is going to perhaps struggle, especially if City come out all guns blazing, which we are expecting them to do, mm-hmm. going by what we saw in the second leg, in the semi-final against Real. I'm glad you brought up Haaland, though, because I wanted to talk to both of you a little bit about him. And, I mean, he's, of course, been a phenomenal player and the leading goal scorer in the Champions League, I think, already for the second time, what is still a very young career. But he did not do anything sort of exceptional at the Bernabeu, which a few people found surprising. At the Etihad, he missed a couple of chances as well. You'll have to put that down, of course, to Courtois' brilliance. But he is, again, the leading goal scorer this season in the Champions League and has given City that sort of that spark that was missing. And sort of and I've had this conversation with Mark in the past, how he could perhaps have been that missing link for City, that they always got so close but just couldn't manage to get to the Champions League trophy.
You know, we've watched Manchester City over, me and Mark, we've played there, we've watched them over decades and decades, especially the last decade, we've watched them grow. Obviously, money's coming there. But, you know, I think the last few years, they've always missed that typical number nine. They was on about Harry Kane coming in, but I think Harry Kane can play as a false number nine and drop into them little holes. I think with Haaland, they've got somebody different. He's got pace, he's got power. If they get the ball to him in the right areas, he can hurt you in wide areas. He can hurt you pulling off. He can hurt you in beyond. And I think it's up to a team, how did he set up against that? You've got to frustrate Haaland. You've not got to let the ball get into feet in certain areas. Do you play a high line? Do you play a low block? Do you play a medium block? But for me, I think he has been the focal point for Manchester City. You know, while you're looking at him, then you've got De Bruyne coming in behind him. You've got Bernardo Silva on one side, and obviously Jack Grealish is coming into that forte on the other side. Yes, Haaland scored his ratio of goals. He could have scored two against Real Madrid. Yeah, at the Bernabeu was a bit quiet. He got man-marked, though, at the with Rudiger. You know, Rudiger was like, you know, a mosquito around him. He never gave him an inch. And I don't know. I just can't see Inter Milan doing that. I think they will give him some freedom because they'll play that three at the back and store that middle zone up. But I think he's been a revelation. I think he's been absolutely fantastic, Haaland. He's come in there. He's won a Premiership medal. He's got another couple of medals to look at maybe winning. He scored his ratio goals with the help of certain players in and around him. I think Manchester City now, their old package. I think they're the full package now. And they've been missing. Guardiola tried it with Flatten when he was at Barcelona. It worked for the first year. It didn't work for the second year. I think with Haaland, he's 22, 23 years of age. I think it's a masterstroke. And let's be honest, they got him for 50-odd million. What's he worth now? If they were to put him on the transfer market tomorrow, 200 million, got to be.
Right. Of course.
I just want to jump in here. We're giving praise to the players as well, but you've got to give praise to Guardiola because, you know, in the past, he's had no strikers and it hasn't quite worked for him. Now he's gone out. He's had a bit of humility about himself because he said, okay, maybe that's not the way forward. I'm going to go out and get this player. This player, as Terry said, makes Manchester City complete because back in the day, they never really got beyond defenders. They never really got it out wide and crossed it into the box. Now they've got someone who can get on the end of all of that. And obviously that stretches the pitch and it makes, you know, playing in midfield a lot easier because there's more space in there. And it's been a masterstroke. He's pinpointed that. He's looked at himself, Guardiola, and thought, okay, maybe I was trying to be a little bit too complicated. Let's simplify it. Let's get this lad in who we know scores goals. Didn't realise he'd score 52 in his whatever in this season, but at least he's gone there. He's looked at himself and he's thought, well, this is the guy that's going to make us different. Whether it was, I don't think Harry Kane would have had a bigger impact than Haaland because Harry Kane doesn't have that ability to get in behind. And as we've seen with Haaland on numerous occasions, these little slide real balls in the sides of defenders where he can get in and he puts the ball in the back of the net. And that's all because of Guardiola realised that maybe he was trying to be a little bit too complicated. Let's bring it back. Let's get the players in. And Manchester City right now are a complete team.
Can I come in there on that one? And Mark's absolutely right what he says. If we look at Haaland's goals, how many goals has he scored from outside the 18-yard box? If we really analyse it, there's not many. Everything's been in, you know, the first six-yard box, the second six-yard box. And for a big man of 6'3", 6'4", to be able to get that little bit of space and coming in, it's very, very difficult. You know, how many goals has he scored with his head? Not many. How many goals has he scored, you know, coming in when Grealish pokes them little balls between defenders? and he's coming in at the edge of that 6-yard box or that penalty spot, and he's fired him in. Lots of them. So it just tells you he's adapted Manchester City style of play and all. You know, he really has. And like Mark says, that's all down, balls down to the manager. Another thing, the manager's got to keep everybody happy. And I think Guardiola is the best in the world at doing that, you know, with the teams he's been at.
Absolutely. And he's also, of course, been credited for sort of shaping players the way, I guess, not a lot of people saw or envisioned that they could be shaped. I mean, what he's done with, say, John Stones, for instance, you know, turning him into a sort of a controlling midfielder, and it's working for them. Talking about Haaland, he's the first player, I think, to win both the Young Player of the Season as well as the Player of the Season award in the Premier League. So, and we'll have to use a cliched line, wait and see what happens in the Champions League final, whether Haaland can leave his mark there or not. Just to wrap up this fascinating discussion that I've been having with Mark and Terry, gentlemen, the toughest of them all for the last, as usual. Your scoreline prediction for the final, City versus Inter in the Champions League, and then I'm going to ask you for the FA Cup final as well.
I'll go first, and I'll be a little bit controversial here. I think Manchester City will win 5-0.
Oh, wow.
Even though it's a huge game, yeah. I just think, and Terry touched on it, if there's an early goal and it's from Manchester City, Inter Milan have to come out. And then if they do that, then as we see with Real Madrid, 4-0 wasn't the scoreline. It was a 6 and a 7-0. And that's, I mean, I might be totally wrong with this, but I just get the impression that Manchester City are, you know, smelling blood here and they're going to go for it. And they realise the way to do it, which the template was against Real Madrid. They'll try and replicate that in the final against Inter.
Right. And, okay, I've got your prediction, Mark, for Champions League. If you can give me your prediction for the FA Cup final as well.
2-1 for Manchester City.
2-1 for City. All right. Terry, your take now.
Well, if we're talking about the Champions League, Mark, I'm very flattered. I think that's... I'm very flattered. And I really do hope that happens because, you know, it would be fantastic. But I think it's going to be a little bit closer than that. I think it'll be 3-1 to Manchester City. I do think Inter Milan will score. So I'll go 3-1 to Manchester City in that Champions League final.
Okay.
The FA Cup final, I'm very nervous about. I'm very, very nervous about. You know, I know, we all know Manchester United. We know they breed that culture of, you know, putting one over Manchester City when you need to. And this could be the day. But I'm going to be close on this one. And I'm going to be, I do think Manchester United will score. But I'm going to go 2-1 on this game. Manchester City, 2-1.
2-1 for City. So,
yes.
Yeah. So Mark and Terry, both of you going with City 2-1 for the FA Cup.
And the treble in there. Yay.
And the treble, yes, yes, of course. And the treble. But very different sort of predictions for the Champions League final. It'll be fantastic if we actually get to see 4+ goals again, something we saw in that second half, second leg against Real Madrid. But gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us, for all the fans who are listening to this.
Thank you.
Some will be watching this as well. Just wanted to give you a quick reminder that, of course, the FA Cup final, 3rd June, 7:30 p.m. kickoff, and then the Champions League final, it's going to be early 11 June morning, India, 12:30 a.m. kickoff, and both, of course, on the Sony Sports Network, across the Sony Sports Network, where you can also catch Mark and Terry's analysis. Two gentlemen I love having here on Sportscast because they don't hold back. They analyze the game really, really well. So, gentlemen, again, another fascinating discussion. I'm sad that I have to wrap this up, but here's hoping that we can all, you know, do this again sometime soon. Again, maybe after the Champions League final.
Look forward to it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Akash.
Okay, thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Akash.